Be it known that Christ and his Holy Mother have come forth in our time to alert the world's peoples of the time of times that is approaching. Beginning in 1970, they would appear at the holy grounds of Bayside in New York and deliver a number of earth-shaking prophecies that are soon to unfold. The message warns that the United States and other nations are now on the pinnacle of great destruction because of our fall to immorality. We are truly witnessing the rapid decline and downfall of our civilization. In the message, Jesus says, quote, "Learn a simple lesson from the past, my children. When the morals of a country start to go down into darkness and the teachings turn from God to man, that country will soon be ended. First the spiritual life and then the material life of your country shall be destroyed." And that was Jesus speaking to the world through the seer Veronica at the apparition site of Bayside on October 2, 1976. The holy grounds are a sanctuary of grace and peace that heaven has established in our midst, and has been the site of some of the most extraordinary miracles and cures ever known to man, the reason being these grounds are hallowed by the presence of Jesus and the Mother of God. With the spiritual heat so intense upon earth at this time, it behooves us to make a pilgrimage to Bayside because it gives us that shot in the arm that all of us can use right now. The holy grounds are like an oasis in a desert, and Our Lady calls us there to refresh us and strengthen us so we can come back and fight the battle with more vigor and less dismay. And we say battle because this is exactly what we are looking at today. In every manner of business, whether it's our schools, our courts, or our government, there is raging the unseen battle between the forces of good and evil. And sadly, this spiritual battle of the last times has centered itself within the very bosom of the Roman Catholic Church. Satan entered the Church at the Second Vatican Council and has been guiding the Council reform ever since, so that we see the wide body of today's bishops and priests proceeding down the path of perdition and taking many souls with them. It's distressing to have to admit that the infernal enemy marched right into our Church of Vatican II and set up his program of error, but according to our Lord, that's exactly what happened. I quote his message, "Satan himself, the deceiver of all mankind, sat in on Vatican II and maneuvered all the outsiders to come in and distort my doctrines and distort the truth." And that is Jesus speaking June 18, 1986. And of course, much of this distortion was accomplished through ambiguous wording or twisted half-truths, which could be interpreted to mean whatever you want. For example, it states right in the Vatican II documents that God works through other religions. And I suppose that could be interpreted in a good light to mean that God can draw good out of evil, or that these invalid religions can serve as stepping stones to eventually lead us to the one true church. But that's not how the Reformers meant it. And this is not how the church has interpreted it. The church in our time has interpreted it as an endorsement of other religions, which is exactly how the Reformers meant it. In other words, the church has followed Vatican II to the letter, so that we have seen the formation of a new church that respects other religions. It still hasn't dawned on us. Only because we don't listen to Our Lady's message that the pirates of secularism have been blowing holes in the bark of Peter and have jumped on board so that the polluted sea of this world has been seeping into the church since the council, causing a slow pollution of the faith. We might say that the bark is sinking today. The scandal today is twofold, where we either have the faithful falling off the ship on the left side by leaving the church or joining the new reform, or they jump off the right side by going independent with the sedevacantist groups. But what Our Lady asks is that we not abandon ship, but stay on board and fight the pirates for the glory of God. This is the time of times. It's the great battle to save the Roman Catholic Church from the clutches of its enemies. And if we go outside the ropes as separatists, or we conform to the new church of man in obedience to today's bishops, then we lose the battle and surrender the church to Satan. Our Lady asks that we stay in our parishes, but she does not want us following the program. As Catholics, we are called to stand apart from the new church and maintain our fidelity to tradition, but we have to keep our tradition in our parish churches. On August 19, 1979, Our Lady said, quote, "The people must now save my son's church. This battle upon earth has been given now to the people, and through the people shall you bring my son's church back to its former position of holiness." Jesus gives us this counsel on June 16, 1977. I quote, "My church, my house upon earth shall not crumble by the onslaught of Satan. It will be a good and just battleground allowed by the Eternal Father for separating the wheat from the chaff." And of course, part of this battle is approaching our clergy with the message from heaven, because according to Our Lady, the wide body of today's Catholic bishops are using their rank to destroy the Catholic Church. Just this past March 2007, Cardinal Roger Mahoney of Los Angeles sponsored a huge anti-church fest at the giant Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California, which featured pro-homosexuals, pro-lesbians, priestess pushers, New Agers, and Pope bashers as his undistinguished panel of speakers. This was their annual REC, or Religious Education Congress, which attracts tens of thousands of religious educators from all over North America, with an estimated 10,000 youth who come. Some 40,000 people attended. The purpose of the convention is to indoctrinate our Catholic educators with anti-church principles and present them with an alternative view of life and religion. The fact is that each and every one of these speakers were handpicked by Cardinal Mahoney, and the majority of them is pro-gay, pro-lesbian, and they aspire after same-sex marriage. The Cardinal's choice of speakers at previous REC conventions clearly shows forth a criminal plan underway to destroy the Catholic Church. Some of these speakers are not even Roman Catholic. And here, they are brought in to infect our people with their germs. Take, for instance, Dr. Diane Hayes, a pro-priestess, who in her keynote address to the Women's Ordination Committee in November 1995 stated that, quote, "The master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. Dismantling of the entire house is needed from within and without, using tools of our own creation." Here she refers to the church as the master's house. She knows that's his house, which clearly shows that her efforts are rather deliberate. In the message at Bayside, Jesus says they must not allow any priestesses in his house. As he says, quote, "They carry this on in the churches of Satan. Therefore, it shall not be carried on in my church." And that's Jesus speaking October 2nd, 1987. And of course, the most effective tool that's being used to destroy the master's house today is homosexuality, which is what a priestess is all about, because a priestess is a lesbian. One of Cardinal Mahoney's favorites is Gwen Gubert, a lesbian Episcopal priestess who is credited with persuading the National Council of Churches to scrap an endorsement of traditional marriage, which of course means having babies. She also calls for sexual and reproductive rights, which is the killing of preborn babies. The March 4, 2005 issue of the Los Angeles Tidings ran a photo of her wearing a black shirt and a Roman collar. On Mahoney's list of favorites is also Reverend Brian Massengale, a liberation theologian from Marquette University, who publicly opposed Wisconsin's 2006 Marriage Protection Amendment to ban gay marriage and gay civil unions. In 2004, he told fellow priests that the new church that is coming will be, quote, "more sensuous and feminine." Father James Martin S.J. told the 2005 REC that we need, quote, "public models of healthy gay priests to reflect on." He publicly opposes the Holy Father's document prohibiting the ordination of homosexuals, criticizing that it implies they're, quote, "not fully human." Well, the truth of the matter, Father James, is that homosexuals are fully human, but they behave worse than animals. Their behavior is not only subhuman, but diabolical. And what we're really looking at here is Sodom and Gomorrah relived. Father Richard Rohr described his all-male retreats, in which the men remove their clothes and have an encounter session of touching and feeling. It would be no exaggeration to say that sex and immorality are being presented as religion. Sister Fran Furter rejects the church's teachings against sex outside of marriage, citing this as a religious fixation of an adolescent psychological level. That makes about as much sense as saying that if you don't read dirty books, you haven't grown up to adult matter, but that you're still immature. But it's the other way around, Sister Fran. If a person becomes tangled up in their nonsense and shame, and they walk around in their self-pity, that is immaturity. And they are the ones suffering from fixations. St. Paul says that we're supposed to grow out of our adolescence and not stay tangled in it for life. That's the only way to be liberated, Sister Fran. Maturity means obeying God as a child and keeping your innocence and not daring to confront his will, because to do so is based on self-pity. And that's not mature, Sister Friend. The question we have to ask ourselves is, where is our love and fidelity for God? According to Scott Appleby, one of Cardinal Mahoney's speakers, that's no longer part of the program. This Notre Dame academic co-edited a book which belittles Orthodox Catholics who hold, quote, "a belief in God and in absolute truth, and a desire to be faithful to God by following church teaching," unquote. This is the kind of material that Mahoney's friends are promoting, and they're not even ashamed to hide it. Right in the presence of the Cardinal Timothy Radcliffe, a former Master General of the Dominicans and key speaker at the 2006 Congress, urged thousands of listeners to commit mortal sin by seeing Brokeback Mountain, a filthy gay cowboy movie that features scenes of sodomy and immorality, along with male and female nudity. And he urges the faithful to read gay novels. What kind of lewd people have entered into our midst? Bishop Kenneth Unterner, the late Bishop of Saginaw, Michigan, ran a sex training program for his seminarians in which they were required to watch pornographic movies. In one film, several men committed lewd acts while discussing, quote, the salvific mission of Christ. That makes about as much sense as saying a rosary with your right hand and shooting someone with your left. We should point out that there are some Orthodox Catholics who speak at the REC Congress on occasion. But we should also point out that they are never invited back again. Whereas the speakers cited above are regular favorites, whom the Cardinal invites back time and again, along with many others whom we don't have time to mention here. The Cardinal purports to lament over the priest sex abuse scandal that has ravaged the Los Angeles Archdiocese. Yet, these are the very people that are spawning all the abuse, and who are putting our Catholic youth in jeopardy. It is for reason that the Church traditionally condemns sex offenders who target the young with their criminal lifestyle. St. Paul describes homosexuality as, quote, men with men, working that which is filthy, Romans 1:27, and states that those who condone this injustice, quote, are worthy of death, Romans 1:32. Today's religious educators need to remind themselves that we were made in the image of God, not in the image of sin, and therefore they should never see perversion as part of our human nature, no more than we would see a cancer tumor as part of our body. God has not engendered man with this degraded tendency to be homosexual or effeminate, no more than he has engendered him with the tendency to envy, to steal, to lust, to murder, or to wish somebody dead. These tendencies are criminal, springing from original sin, and therefore to encourage them along is likewise criminal, especially when we do this in the name of the Church. In the message of June 18, 1982, Jesus said, quote, I will not stand for my priests who condone homosexuality and allow it in my priesthood. The United States bishops are bound before God to expel homosexuals from the Church who do not repent of their disgrace. Otherwise, the verdict of Holy Scripture applies where it states, quote, Because being ministers of his kingdom, you have not judged rightly, nor kept the law of justice, nor walked according to the will of God. Horribly and speedily will he appear to you. For a most severe judgment shall be for them that bear rule. And that's from Wisdom, chapter 6, and that is a message for Cardinal Roger Mahoney. It is for reason that Our Lady on July 25, 1979 said, quote, Bishops, cardinals, if you do not love my son, have you no vestige of fear? Shall you stand before him and say that your teaching has been pure in his sight? We are often reminded of the sad fate of Sodom and Gomorrah, which fell for less crimes that are now being committed upon earth today. We are told that within our generation, we will witness a devastation unlike anything ever witnessed upon earth before. So Our Lady exhorts us to prepare for this time because she says it is coming soon. To receive your free information packet on Our Lady's visits to Bayside, you can write to us. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or you can visit us at www.smwa.org. This is St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you this urgent message of Jesus and Mary, as given in our time through the late visionary, Veronica of the Cross. Each year, St. Michael's World Apostolate conducts its annual May crowning at the sacred grounds of Bayside, where the Blessed Virgin is given that special honor as Queen of Heaven and Earth. The May crowning can almost be compared to a flower planted in the midst of gloom and destruction. In an age of terrorism, strife, violence, and immorality, it's consoling to know that there is still Catholic devotion of such exemplary order that we can turn to. It just seems to be Bayside's reputation that it always comes out smelling like a rose. And the reason is because it has Our Lady of the Roses as the generating force behind the scene. And it is Our Lady who calls us to her sacred grounds. And those who go there also come out smelling like a rose. So, if your petals seem to be wilting, and you're not able to get to the holy grounds to get those special graces, you might want to listen to this special report on the May crowning, which is brought to you by SMWA President Michael Mangan, who was at the holy grounds to cover this special event.
Hello, David, and to all of our listeners. Today is Sunday, May 6th. And we are on the holy grounds of Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mother Shrine in Bayside, New York. And St. Michael's World Apostle is directing the annual May crowning of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's my pleasure to have with me Daniel and Laura Linnell and their family. especially Josepha Linnell, who has the privilege and honor of crowning the Blessed Virgin Mary today. And let's say hi to the Father first. How are you doing, Dan?
Oh, good, good, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
And how are you doing, Josepha?
Good.
And this is a real special day, Josepha. You must be really excited.
Yes, I am.
What are you going to be doing specifically?
Crowning the Blessed Mother.
And Daniel, any thoughts as the father?
Oh, I think it's an honor for any young lady to take part in a procession for Our Lady and crown the Mother of God, to give honor to our Divine Mother and to our Blessed Lord. And it's a great day, and we're happy to be here.
It really is an exciting day. This is one of the major events of St. Michael's World Apostolate. And as the mother, Laura, you have to be very proud.
Yes, very proud. I'm so happy to see my daughter crowning Our Lady of the Roses.
This has to be pretty special because you came all the way from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and that's not around the block.
Yes, it's very special, worth the trip. And it's a lot of fun, too.
And we have a couple hundred people that are making the ring around the holy grounds here at Our Lady of the Roses Shrine. And, of course, in the center of the procession is our Blessed Mother. And she's surrounded by roses, and the sun is sparkling off the top of her head because, of course, she has not been crowned yet. And little Josepha Linnell of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, she is in front of the Blessed Mother holding the crown. But it is so wonderful to see this public witness of our Catholic faith. You don't see too many processions in the public anymore as we used to many years ago. But with the crucifix leading the procession, the papal and American flag behind it, images of Our Lady of the Roses, Mary, Help of Mothers, and there is about 10 ladies holding a very large rosary. And the picture of Pope Benedict XVI and other banners. It really is a beautiful sight to behold, and it really makes you proud to be a Roman Catholic. And with all the little children also processing, many of them in their white and blue berets, and it's so cute. It's just so beautiful and inspiring to see the innocence is really coming through on a day like this. And this is one of the major events that St. Michael's World Apostolate directs, and we're always proud to do it. We're really excited about this. This is always a very, very special day, and we're also remembering the ordination of Father James, a former member of the Lay Order of St. Michael, who was ordained last week. We have a poster board of about probably about a dozen pictures of his ordination. He will always be in our prayers. Every Sunday is the Sunday Holy Hour for priests. As requested by Our Lady, we pray a 15-decade rosary for the intention of Pope Benedict XVI, bishops, cardinals, and all the priests of the world, as well as for peace in the world. As we said many times here, and it's worth repeating and stressing, that these prayers on the holy grounds are critical, are really crucial to the safety and state of the world and the church. Our Lady said that if these prayers were ever stopped, there would be an immediate chastisement upon the world. Literally, these prayers are holding up New York City, the United States, and the world. That's how special this center of atonement is in the eyes of the Eternal Father. These are indeed holy grounds. Metaphorically speaking, you must take off your shoes because you will truly recognize the peace and beauty and grace of this holy site. Our Lady and Our Lord have said many times that the rosary is like music to heaven's ears, and the children will be leading a decade later on. Josepha Linnell of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, age 7, is preparing to place the garland of rose on the head of our Blessed Mother, and following that will be the crown. But she's on top of the ladder now, and William Dykes, the Lay Order of St. Michael, is right behind her as an aide, and she's just putting the rose garland now on our Blessed Mother. And it's almost official that Our Lady is Queen of all heaven and earth. This is a venerable tradition of the Catholic Church. During the month of May, our Blessed Mother's Month, designated by Holy Mother Church, to honor our Blessed Mother and her queenship by having a rosary, vigil, and ceremony, which is topped off with the crowning. And Josepha looks pretty in her first communion dress, and she has her veil on as well. Now she's about to crown Our Lady. She put the garland of roses on, but now there will be the crown of the Blessed Mother. And she's just reaching right now as we give you this blow-by-blow account. And she's reaching, and she's placing the crown on the Blessed Mother. And it is official now. Our Lady is Queen of all heaven and earth. And she has a smile. Little Josepha has a smile now. Josepha has crowned Our Lady. And I'm looking at the parents on the right-hand side, and they're both beaming and very proud. And Josepha's two brothers are right in front of her, or off to the side now, but they were in front of her and will be in a short time as they lead a decade of the rosary. But they have their white berets on and their ties and look like very fine young men. Joseph is descending the ladder now, and she will stand in front of the Blessed Mother now and will be leading a decade of the rosary shortly, along with her brothers and the other young children that have come here this morning from all points of the Northeast. There's about 200 pilgrims, I'd say. Very uplifting to see this, especially in this day and age, with all the hip-hop and bad music and violence and everything else. It's good to see the young children involved in something so pure and holy, and so their innocence can shine through. And that's what we're seeing here, really an exhibition, a demonstration of purity and innocence and holiness. Pray for us and for our death. Amen.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Oh, Josepha now is leading the decade of the rosary. She received her first communion last year, the age of 6. She's 7 now. And her parents are longtime Baysiders from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, Daniel and Laura Linnell. Laura is my younger sister. This is Leonardo. His first name is Leo, and his last name is Nardo. From Long Island, New York, he received his first communion yesterday. He's 7 years old.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
This is Josepha's younger brother, Luke. He's almost 6 years old.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us.
Luke will be receiving his first communion next year. And they come from a fine Catholic family. A daily Mass, daily rosary. They kneel for Holy Communion, and they're very tradition-minded, the Linnell family. And they'll be the first to credit the graces and blessings received from Our Lady the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers, in Bayside, New York. They come often throughout the years to the prayer vigils, the holy hours. This is a Peter Consoli, age 11, from Pennsylvania. His younger sister, Monica, crowned the Blessed Mother last year. And he is in his altar boy garments this morning. Looks very inspiring. He is an altar boy for the Latin Tridentine Mass in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. He comes from a wonderful family that, again, is very Catholic, very devoted to the shrine, who will testify to the abundant graces and blessings received from Our Lady of the Roses and through the wisdom and counsel of the messages of Bayside.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
This is Joseph Avaye from Queens, New York. Joseph is 10 years old, and he also is in his altar boy uniform with the white gloves and St. Michael beret. His sister crowned the Blessed Mother 2 or 3 years ago. His older sister. This is Marisa Consoli that's leading the Decade of the Rosary. Marisa will be entering the convent next year. She's already been accepted into the Benedictine sisters have accepted her, and she'll be entering that convent next year. Marisa crowned the Blessed Mother many years ago. I would say in the late 90s sometime. Another beautiful example of the graces and blessings flowing through this shrine. This is the fruit of Our Lady of the Roses Shrine, is certainly vocations, loyal sons and daughters of the Church that are true warriors, defenders of the faith, defenders of the truth, who are always willing to give their heart and their all for the benefit of our Blessed Mother and our Lord, and for the benefit of the Church, and for the salvation of souls.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we hope you enjoyed this year's coverage of the May crowning at Bayside, and we do thank Michael for his on-the-scene report. It is good to see vocations budding forth from this oasis, as Our Lady has called her shrine in New York. Just recently, on May 27th, Michael's niece took her final professional vows as a Carmelite nun at the Monastery of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in Nebraska, which is perhaps the most exclusive Carmelite convent in North America, where the sisters are provided with daily Latin Tridentine Mass, if that tells you anything about the spirituality there. And as she testified on St. Michael's radio 4 years ago, when she was 17, so she would tell you today that it was her connection with Bayside that directly led to her vocation. This child was virtually cradled in a bed of graces, being raised in a Bayside family. We might say that Our Lady raised her up in her nursery of roses at Bayside, and has now transplanted her onto permanent ground at Carmel. And while making her final vows at the monastery in May, her prayer was for the approbation of Bayside, amongst other petitions she had. And we know that she is praying for all of us. Her professional name, by the way, is Sister Teresa of Merciful Love, formerly Susanna Bauer, being the daughter of Tom and Mary Bauer, who are the Bayside organizers for Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Sister Teresa's testimony is contained on our show number 253, that's St. Michael's Radio, show number 253, should you wish to order this. And we do invite you to write for the free information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website again, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you.